KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Do you know much about the defunding the police bill? Well, one of the co-representatives of this bill was hijacked at gunpoint, and two men tried to take her keys. And how does she feel now about this bill? What is this bill all about? And what can you do to find out more about it? And if you're opposed to it, what can you do to help support the police more? I'm Judy Redlick. My guest is Michael Letts, and he is a policeman. He is a first responder, and he's a police chaplain. Michael Letts, thanks for joining me for Encounter. Please stay tuned. Michael, welcome to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick.
Judy, it's a delight to be on your show today, and there's quite a bit to discuss, especially with this whole defunding the police movement. It's actually a broader movement that's been going on for decades.
Let's start with your background to give our audience a little bit of an idea of how long you've been in the police force and what you've done to serve our country in this ways.
Well, we've been involved with law enforcement for over 32 years now. Started out when I first got out of college and went from law enforcement to firefighter, served as a volunteer firefighter as well, served in various law enforcement agencies. And decided that police, I was also an ordained minister, so I was asked to be the chaplain for law enforcement and for firefighters. And getting old and doing it, been a lot of years, but there's a lot of need out there. So it takes its toll on all of us. It takes especially a toll on our first responders every day. You know, our, especially law enforcement have the highest divorce rate and most stressed job in America. And we do it for very little pay and very little gratitude. I really think most that are doing it because they feel it's a calling or a ministry. Regardless of their religious affiliation, they feel like their desire is to serve and to help people. We have to keep that in mind because we find very few of them anymore that are willing to make the sacrifice. We're losing first responders and law enforcement officers by the droves daily now. In fact, the new statistics out show that within 2 years, you will dial 911 and simply get a recording saying we cannot respond at this time, leave a message, and we will get back to you as soon as we are available.
In 2 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, that's pretty scary. So what's it like to be a police officer today as opposed to when you started 32 years ago?
Well, it's as I've been telling you, there has been a movement afoot for years to destroy the last bastion of hope and freedom in the world, which is America and our liberties that we all enjoy. And what is impeding that from happening is our first responders and our law enforcement creating law and order. They have to remove that. So they have been a concerted effort to do that. And the reason why it's important for me to stress that is we have raised generations, not just one, but generations over the last 20, 30 years that have been went through an education system which was devoid of any kind of morals or value. You remember back in the 60s, they took the position that they didn't want to make sure there was any indication of a religion in state or taxpayer-funded institutions. So unfortunately, what they didn't understand is that whether you call it religious or not, values and character are the basis of society. And so our educational system very quickly removed any values and character that were taught in the educational system in the schools. So we raised generations that have no respect for authority anymore. They don't know what respect for authority is. That is the basis for the difference between now and 20, 30 years ago. 20, 30 years ago, an officer very rarely ever drew his firearm because when he came upon a scene, there was an automatic sense of respect and the ability for an officer to do his job because they respected him in doing it. Now, when an officer arrives on the scene, their first job, first response is to shoot him. They have no respect for life or authority. And so it has changed the way law enforcement operates by 180 degrees, turned it upside on its head. And it's a consequence of generations that we've raised. So we're reaping what we sow. And that is, to answer your question, how is law enforcement different now than it was then? It's a very risky job that asks our men and women to put their lives on the line literally every day, to be shot at, have a great risk of not returning home to their families, for very little pay, for very little respect from the community now. You'll find that most law enforcement officers who we deal with the, for lack of a better word, the scum of the earth on a day-to-day basis, and we get no positive reaffirmation from our communities. And so they feel like they're putting their lives on the line to protect and defend, to make sure there's law and order, with little appreciation and little respect. It's hard to get people to do that nowadays. That's why we're having them, so many that are retiring and so few that are entering the profession.
Wow. And in 2 years, we'll call 911, Michael Letts projects, and there won't be anyone answering the phone. It'll just say, we'll call you back when we get to you.
These are national statistics. It's not just my opinion. These are national statistics. And they've proven to be pretty accurate so far. So, you know, it's one thing if, hey, if you can't come for a few days to give me a report that somebody smashed my mailbox. It's quite a different scenario if somebody's kicking in the front door and their arm and they're shooting at me and I'm calling, I need a response now, and I can't get one. We are in a very, very tenuous position in this country in the days ahead.
What about the families, your families? How do they feel? And how are they affected?
We, as I mentioned before, first responders have the highest divorce rates in America. And the reason why is because of the fact that our officers have to see the worst of the worst. And it is very similar to a combat situation. I've also served in the Guard. And PTSD is real. Our officers experience it, whether they want to admit it or not. They experience it every day. It's stress on the family, wondering whether their spouse, their father, is going to be coming home on a day-to-day basis. Just sometimes gets beyond the breaking point, and that's why we lose so many marriages and first responders' homes. It's just devastating to the spouse and to the kids, quite frankly. It's a unique person to be able to tolerate and make it through that.
And when you go to court on a trial situation, how do you feel about that?
Well, we understand now that law enforcement is not respected. So it becomes a very frustrating situation when the society that we built is more concerned about the criminal's rights and feelings than they are about the victims or the law enforcement officers who enforce the law. And so you put all this effort and time to try to get those elements off the street to protect the lives of innocent civilians and find out that they get released and it's all for naught. It can be extremely frustrating. Because then you must realize that when that happens and another crime occurs, who did they look to? Law enforcement obviously didn't do their job. When the fact of the matter is they did their job above and beyond the call of duty, but the system and the policies and procedures blocked them from being effective, and then they get blamed for it.
Talk about the new bill of defunding the police. What is that really all about? Explain it to us.
Well, defunding the police is simply a tactic to eliminate local and state law enforcement. And there's a reason behind that. Like I said, this is not by happenstance. It's been planned for years. They want to create a national police force so that it is at the will of the party that's in power at the time. And if the ideology of the party is to revoke our Second Amendment rights, they realize they can't totally destroy the freedoms and liberties we enjoy as long as Americans are armed. So the people that would be unarming would be our local and state law enforcement, who are connected with the people, who are elected by the people, and would not be very inclined to do something that's unconstitutional. But a federal law enforcement agency office would probably get that accomplished. So that's where they're headed, and that's why they're trying to create legislation to defund local and state law enforcement. And it didn't work very well, so they decided to also defund their equipment, which is why we created the charity that I have, Invest USA.
And we're going to talk about that charity in a little bit, but can you talk more about the defunding movement? How many states really have that in force right now, and how is it working?
Well, it's actually in force all across the country. It is enforced in larger cities more than in minor cities, but that is changing rapidly as we progress throughout from day to day. It used to be just in New York City, Chicago, Portland, L.A., places like that. Now it's coming to smaller areas. There are even defund the police movements in Texas, and you wouldn't think of Texas as tolerating that kind of behavior. But the goal and the objective is to remove law enforcement, replace it with civil workers, so that social workers who will come to a scene try to talk you out of being bad. I really wish that would work, but that's not. There's going to be a lot more people that are going to be killed because of it.
You don't think that having a social worker on the scene of a crime would be a good thing?
Well, I will tell you this. You're going to find very few social workers that will go to an active scene because there's still danger involved, and they're going to have no way of protecting themselves. So I think it's great to have social workers to help with cases, but the initial response has to be armed law enforcement to maintain order and to secure control in the situation.
How do you think the mainstream media is either purporting the defunding of police or supporting the police?
Well, mainstream media has been the tool of socialists and the Marxist and left Democratic proponents of defunding the police. So they've been towing the line. It's what they want them to say. And what their line is that police need to be defunded because of the fact that we are racist, we're quotas, we're bent on making sure that we shoot more minorities, which is totally a myth. The statistics prove that that's not the case. But they have been leading the dissension with their leading stories that because of that, they need to be defunded and replaced with some other force or some other medium to get the job done. The problem is a centuries-old problem, and it's biblical from the standpoint that mankind has a sin nature, and
that's
they are
right.
Not going to do what's right or what's best unless there are consequences.
Hey, Mike, we're going to come back. Would you join me for another segment?
Sure. I have a 2:30 interview as well, so we just have to keep that one in mind.
Okay. We're going to talk more about InvestUSA and more about the myths, but yet, how can you help the police force and the first responders? I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Michael Letts is my guest. He's a police officer, first responder, and a police chaplain. He's been in the police business for the past 32 years. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. We're going to continue to talk about the myths that are believed about the police forces, defunding the police and how it's really going. But yet we're going to also discuss with Michael how we as citizens can help. And some of the polls that are out there that talk about where police stand in the minds and hearts of most Americans. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Michael, what are some of the myths that are out there about policemen?
Well, some of the biggest myths are that policemen are supermen. And while that sounds great, we're human. And so that means we feel emotion. That means we bleed. That means we same as any other person does. So a couple things is that because of the fact that there is this strong push by the left to eliminate police, which then eliminates law and order, and we have anarchy. There's often a move to make sure that officers are not provided with the necessary equipment that they need to be able to come home safely to their families. There's the myth that officers are deliberately trying to harass people, murder people, be the kind of person that you would just simply fear and have no compassion for their people or for the job that they're doing. Those are tremendous myths. That is not the case. I will tell you, first responders have the greatest empathy for people that you'll ever see. They're willing to put their lives on the line. They're willing to sacrifice their lives for people they don't even know. That takes a special kind of person.
What are some of the other myths about statistics that you'd like to share?
Well, there's some of the myths. There's a myth that white officers kill more blacks, which is totally a myth. When you look at the statistics, all white officers talk about killing criminals. I don't even like to use the difference in the skin color. But when you have to look at it that way, it's 3-1. They kill more white criminals than they ever kill black criminals. So it's just simply being used as propaganda to try to divide the country. And it's unfortunate that law enforcement officers are put in the middle of a political ploy to cause them to be despised so that they don't want to do their job, so that we can have a country that has no law and order. That's anarchy. That's not what our forefathers ever envisioned for America, and that's not what the American people want right now, quite frankly.
You've put together an organization called Invest USA. What's that all about?
Invest USA is a nonprofit public charity that's been in existence for almost 30 years, and its purpose is to raise funds across the country to make sure that officers who don't have protective gear, active shooter vests, et cetera, are given those vests to make sure they can come home safely to their families. Unfortunately, even 30 years ago, agencies struggled to provide necessary equipment. Now, with a movement afoot to defund police, to castigate them, to put them in a bad light, it's gotten even worse. And to ask officers to put their lives on the line to protect their communities and the citizens therein without having the ability to protect themselves is unconscionable. And so that's why Invest USA has been created. We provide thousands of vests across the country to officers in need, and we have since expanded. We're also an advocacy for our first responders to point out to the American people, officers are unique. They're special. They're American heroes. They care about the people that they serve. They're willing to put their lives on the line to defend a person they don't even know. And that, quite frankly, is, as Scripture says, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. And so that's what Invest is all about. If you go to our website, InvestUSA, that's InvestUSA.org, or charity.org, you'll find a litter of things you can do. There is a Bless the Vest program, which encourages churches to adopt an officer, make sure that officer has the equipment that they need, and to make sure that officer knows that he has a spiritual resource and he has a family praying for him every day. That's what we need in this country today. We also have Pennies for Police, where we encourage young people in schools to bring their pennies, their change from home, and collectively put it all together and buy a vest for the officer, we call them school resource officers, that work the school every day to provide them security and safety. Because in doing so, it allows young people to feel like they have ownership and are part of that law enforcement officer and to develop a respect that should have been automatically there, but because of the society we live in today, is not. And it provides us a great way to influence the next generation, which, quite frankly, if we don't reach the next generation, we're going to all be in a lot of trouble.
Wow. So Invest USA, how does Black Lives Matter and Antifa play a major role in getting the wrong impression out about the support the police give our communities?
Black Lives Matter and Antifa are being used as a tool. They were created as such. They've been used as a tool over the last few years to be the front to spread disinformation and fake news and to loot and to destroy. It's amazing. I was on a show with Black Lives Matter. They have a great disdain for law enforcement. But my question was simply this. I said, you've raised millions of dollars. I can tell. I know by the financial disclosures. I challenge you to give me the name of one black that you helped, besides the fact that you've taken the money to buy luxury homes for his top leaders. But I want to know of one homeless black person that you've helped get off the street, one homeless black person that you've helped provide a meal for, families that you've brought food to in the communities. Tell me one. And they couldn't do it.
They couldn't.
Because of the fact that those organizations are created to create division and to destroy what holds us together. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, law and order holds this country together. Without law and order, we have anarchy. We have a lawless society that cannot sustain itself.
And only prayer can help bring this all together, can't it?
That's exactly right. And our officers need prayer like they've never needed it before in this country. I encourage everyone listening to the sound of my voice, if you believe in freedom and liberty, which is where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, which is this country was built upon, then I would implore you to remember daily in prayer the officers that are trying to secure those rights and liberties every day for you to enjoy. But they can't do it alone. I tell people this all the time. Now, the thin blue line is collapsing. It will totally collapse shortly unless we stand together and help shore it back up. Can't do it without you. And part of what we're asking people to do is very simple. First and foremost, pray for America's first responders. Second of all, you got to go to the next step. You can't just pray for them. You got to let them know that you're praying for them, that you're supporting them. That means when you see one out in your community, first of all, you should know who they are, because quite frankly, every community has a precinct, it has a substation that are assigned to your area. So who are the officers in your area? Do you know who they are? Find out who they are. Tell them you appreciate what the job that they do and the sacrifices that they make. Then thirdly, make sure that if you're able to, donate something to make sure they have the equipment that they need to come home safely to their families. This is crucial in the days ahead, and you can make a difference between keeping America safe and keeping America free, are losing the country that we've enjoyed for 250 years.
Michael, what are some poll statistics that our audience may not be aware of?
Well, let me let you know on protection of law enforcement officers. When we started Invest 30 years ago, 52% of officers had no protection at all. We got that down to 28%. Then the criminal element got smarter because the vests that were available at the time would only stop a handgun, sidearm, not a rifle round. And so our criminal element began to use long-range rifles, assault rifles, to ambush and kill our officers. You read about it every day now. We had to create new technology called active shooter vests, which are able to stop rifle rounds. But unfortunately, 90% of officers today still do not have an active shooter vest. So we're asking for Americans to step in and make sure these officers can come home safely to their families, because they face the threat of ambush every day.
Michael Letts is my guest, and he is a policeman. He's been a policeman for 32 years. He also is a first responder, and he's a chaplain, a police chaplain. And he has put together an organization called Invest USA. You might want to look at it. They've got a booklet up there that you can get. Michael, tell us about that booklet.
If you'll go to our website, you'll find on the website a booklet that will give you all kind of ideas and abilities to help our first responders, things to keep yourself safe, safety tips for the community, for your own home, and how you can be better at making sure that we keep the people that we love safe and a community safe. And there's a booklet that does that. It's free. If you'll go to our website, you can download our ebook at any point in time. It'll give you a little history that you need to know about first responders and about law enforcement, plus ways that you can actively be involved to help make our communities a safer and better place to be. Remember, it won't happen on its own. It only happens if you get engaged and involved. So feel free to go to our website, investusa.org, download the book. We'd be honored to have you be involved in keeping America free and safe.
So, Michael, they've proposed defunding the police departments. What do you think would help the police departments become strong again?
I think one of the biggest things that we could do is our elected officials need to stand with the people they've asked to do a job. It's incredibly frustrating to have elected officials who have no experience in law enforcement tell people that have been trained for their entire life to provide protection of property, protection of life, and tell them to stand down and not do their jobs. That's obstruction of justice. So the greatest thing that could happen is to have our elected officials support the very people that they're asking to keep us free. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often. It needs to change.
Michael Letts has been my guest. I'm so glad that you all stuck with us on Encounter today. Begin praying for the police. And if you're already praying for them, the police and the fire departments, they need your support and your prayer. Michael, in closing, what would you like to share with our audience to wrap it up?
I would like to tell our audience, we thank you for your prayers. We thank you that we believe that the majority of American citizens support our first responders, and they want them to succeed. They want them to keep law and order. They want us to enjoy the America that our forefathers had. We cannot do it without you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for going to our website. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you so much.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.